Alright, time for another DoNotGod.com video presentation. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay. I'm just presenting what my brain has compiled as a subject, and it's going to explain, why, it's going to attempt to explain why it's drawn a conclusion or why it thinks a certain thing is the truth. A definition of a fact and how it put that fact together and that kind of thing. In the context this time is the modern mystic, and it's sort of about you playing the game, or is the game playing you? And frankly, the answer is both. The you part is just the tricky part. The you is a byproduct of the game, okay? And the fact is that once your you is made, it plays the game. So the game makes you the you, and then the you plays the game, interacts in the game. And what the mystic is talking about here, and what he's veiled this whole conversation as if all this religious woo and all the other bullshit is all based on free will, and that it's not based on anything else, okay? All this desperate wishing for a reasonable and fair and just world isn't have anything to, he thinks it all is focused on whether or not somebody thinks they're controlling something, okay, whatever they is. Right? Like they're controlling their brain. No, you don't control your brain, okay? Your brain creates you. You're not making your brain. Your brain is making you. I mean, is it that complicated? And all you can do, all your consciousness can do, is watch you be you. That's it. Now, I don't see how anybody can deconstruct that simple statement into anything else but, yeah, of course that's how it works. Of course that's the truth. I can't consciously make me. I can't consciously do anything, okay? Because it's consciousness is this little tiny right now thing. It doesn't, I can't access my memories without my brain having to, oh, you mean I have to do a memory thing? Oh, okay, let me go find one. I can't even, they're not even indexed somewhere where I can, go through the index. I can only do this, watch myself, my brain, make something called a me, all right? And maybe that me can think it's controlling the brain. When, and of course, the brain is controlling the brain. The brain is the only thing that you're watching, and that's all you're doing. You're just watching your brain produce the personality called you. That's it. I witness myself being me. I don't make me happen. I can't make something else happen. My brain has to make something else happen. My brain has to have the idea, let's fool them by being somebody else. My brain would have to do it. I can't do it. It has to be my brain's idea first. My brain says it, and I say, oh, yeah, great idea. No, I don't say, oh, yeah, great idea. My brain says, oh, yeah, great idea. There's only the brain, okay. And it's just doing a lot of stuff, and it mixes it all together, and it comes out you. Poo, you, there you are. That's it. It excretes you. What do they call that? When I'm trying to think of the word they use when they make buildings that way, where they just squeeze them out of a tube. That's all that's happening. You come out of the tube. There's all kinds of ingredients, blah, 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 squeeze, pressure, heat, blah, blah, blah. There, that's you. And you is just made out of a bunch of, as the mystic was reminiscing about when he came into the world and what was part of the culture and what somehow, for whatever reason, resonated with him. So when he was listening to some, rock band, I was listening to Linda Ronstadt. So, yeah, I don't know, different folks and strokes and such. But yes, I was really introverted and I couldn't give a shit about being a part of a club or a gang or a group. I didn't, hung out with people at school, but outside of that, no, it was me. And I did what I liked and I listened to what I liked and I didn't like noise. I didn't care for noise at all. I still don't like noise. Sort of a problem here where I live now because all the new arrivals and some of the old arrivals, they're just not, they don't get this whole don't make noise thing. It just doesn't occur to them not to be rude and impositional. They just don't care, they just doesn't, somehow they just have never been in a circumstance where they couldn't be, I guess, louder than everybody else, and so therefore they don't know that there's such a thing as being annoyed by loud people. It's just life lesson thing, okay. fundamentally, you still have to do the, you always have to stick with the Martin Luther King thing, judge an individual man or person by the content of their character. It's not their fault, okay, that, people that might have something in common with them, be from the same location or have some skin pigmentation, behave like monkeys. It's not their fault. There's white trash, black trash, brown trash, green trash. There's trash. There's human trash. And, so I know that. But it does affect you. You can't help it. Your brain profiles and says, the odds are this wouldn't happen if, that kind of crap. So it is damaging. Because it does. All you can say is these people are a blight, and it does make you, I watched some guy go by on his motorcycle that's 500 times louder than it needs to be, going, 4 or 5 times faster than he has to, and I wish him dead. if he crashed into a telephone pole and his head went rolling down the street, I'd be happy to video it and laugh at it for the rest of my life. And you say, okay, well, that's not me. But it is me. That is me. Wouldn't have been me 10 years ago. Wouldn't have been me. Certainly wouldn't have been me 30 years ago. But, yeah, having to live with it is a lot different than hearing about it. So, yeah, when it moves next door, it gets a lot more personal, because it does rob you of your life. I mean, it does, these imposers, they'll steal from you. They steal the quality. You can't use your own yard anymore, because they have to blight on it, piss on it. It's the smell of their stench, but anyway. All right, that's not the subject of the video, but it is just a parallel circumstance where I'm dealing with the very fact that, we're conditioned to a civilization, and when it degrades and falls apart, we notice, and it's just a fact. And the fact is the new arrivals aren't bringing anything good. They're only bringing pus and disease. They're just carriers of negatives. They're not, inspiring, show us how to do it writers. They're not doing anything that show us how to do it writer. They're not doing anything better. They're just degrading our average performance. And, that sucks. Anyway, not a damn thing to do about it. Side subject. But, like I said, it is related to the fact that we're just struggling with, brains that are both subjectively conditioned. They have a bunch of emotional wiring, a bunch of personal taste wiring. And then they have this intelligence that's, you know, basically does the, oh, you know, that's bullshit, that's cheating, that's unfair, that's, you know, all that kind of crap. And you have to live with that conflict. And I guess people think when they do the right thing, you know, that somehow they're responsible. But when they do the wrong thing, oh, it's that, you know, emotional thing. But my better brain knew better, blah, 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 some kind of bullshit. And it's just, you know, it's just you. And there's parts of you that are more sophisticated than other parts. And, you know, it's true in cases like even sex and stuff. You know, people, I wouldn't be the first person to talk about the two heads and, you know, listening to the one, you know, that's a little bit smarter. You know, that you can't be controlled by your reflexes. Even though your intelligence is another reflex, you can understand that your intelligence is a very complicated reflex, where it takes a lot of time and it balances and lots of scales in your intelligence, lots of weighing going on, lots of, oh, testing this against that. So the reflexes are very long and slow triggers, where your loud noise reaction reflex, you annoy me, you stink, you know, that kind of stuff hits you right away. And you know, the perspective takes a while. All right, so anyway, back to the video. I'll play some of it. So a lot of this, again, is just semantics. I mean, unfortunately, the mystic can't say anything directly. He has to veil everything in mush. And so if all he's really saying is that there's a whole bunch of people who really think, but I don't believe him, okay? I don't believe that's what people are doing. I don't think the problem is people are thinking they're controlling the world or something, or they're controlling, frankly, anything. I think people are perfectly aware of the fact that they're driven by impulses, and the impulses are a manifestation of their brain and their conditioning. And I think they understand most of those, that terminology. I don't think it goes over most people's heads. and they know there's a real conflict inside of themselves, where you have to do this resist thing, where somebody shows you the banana split or something, the yummy ice cream, and you have to say, oh no, I'm on a diet and I know better. You know, we have to do this impulse control thing. I think people know that that's a battle that happens within their brain. You know, and so I don't think it's that difficult. And I think I'll just argue again that my simple statement that you just witness your brain produce you. Your function is just reflexes, and their brain has lots of complex ones, and that's all it is. And you just watch it happen. You see the world do something, and then you watch yourself react. There's just not, it's not any more complicated than that. And sometimes you react in ways that bug you and irritate you. I mean, you could be drinking a cup of coffee and some asshole shoots off a firework and you end up busting one of your teeth. You know, I mean, you can understand that you would prefer that that not be your reflex, that you not be so sensitive to sound, because you live in a place where you're going to have to deal with that. You're going to have to expect a gunshot now and then, or this or that. You know, so you can, you know, we all experience it, that there's parts of our personality we don't care too much for, parts of our functionality that we would prefer didn't get in our way. You could be squeamish at the sight of blood. You could say, well, that's not doing me any good. It's kind of ruining my career choices. It's in my way, blah, blah, blah. You know, just a fact. So, no, I don't think people really think they're in control of anything. And I think they know they have to navigate their life with this fact that they have some skills and some attributes and some failures, some weaknesses, know, that they have these strengths and weaknesses. Anyway, so how else to put it? So he's just arguing that somehow people think they are in control of them. And yeah, you're just not. And the only thing that's in control is your brain. Your brain has to have the idea that there's control, and then it has to exercise the control. The you is just the byproduct. You watch your brain say something like, I can do better, and then it does something better. It says, I'm going to practice, I've before mentioned that, sometimes, I do have a tendency to use foul language, and it's just a fact that it is unnecessary. I mean, it's a nice emphasis thing. It feels good, but I probably shouldn't do it. Now, I'm not saying that. My brain is making that argument, and I'm watching me make it to myself, essentially. And I say something like, well, yeah, I'm going to work on that. And I work on it for 10 minutes, and then I'm done working on it. So my brain has to say, okay, we have to work on it in a different way, because that way didn't work. And so it says that. And then, okay, so we double our effort. So maybe I'll do that. Just as a demonstration. I'm still addicted to nicotine, so I still have to, do my vaping thing. And clearly my brain could just decide at some point, we're really going to quit. We're not going to just think about it. We're not going to say, tomorrow, maybe a week from now, maybe next month. I sort of have made a rule that I'm not going to buy any more nicotine. But I probably still have another year's worth. It's clear that, the mechanism is working on it. It's putting the little sliding pieces. It's sliding pieces. It's doing the little pushing, of weights on the scale, trying to make it tip, and just never has been able to tip it. It hasn't been able to flip the little flippers that need to be flipped for the trigger to be released on the let's quit thing, where I'd actually make an effort. Part of it, one of these things that I would argue sort of, it always gets in the way, is that you have to feel good to do anything constructive, right? So when you're not feeling great, it's always hard to sacrifice anything. You can't give away feeling worse when you don't feel great. And when you feel great, though, you really don't want to give up anything at all, because you really want to enjoy the great feeling. It's like you won't want to put any more weight in your boat, because you're going fast and you like it. You like the breeze. So when you're sinking, it's hard to take on the weight. And then when you're going fast and everything's great and you don't have any leaks and you're not taking on water, it's also hard to take on the weight. So it is kind of it's psychology, right? And so this is the crap that people could waste time talking about, is how to get your brain to have its conversation in such a way that it's able to pull triggers easier on things that are in the long term you're better off doing. Practices that will get you further in the long run, okay, at some short-term compromise. And then somebody could just make a video about low risk, and they could just explain how if you don't get in trouble, you don't have to get out of trouble. And that's just so simple, right? I mean, it's just, wow, gee, that's a profound, you need people to do that, in the middle of the woods with a pretty pasture behind them, and have to explain, don't do stupid things because stupid things are really hard to clean up. That kind of stuff. That seems like a real easy one. To be risk averse, you know, just measure everything and just say, do I really need to go to Barbados for a week vacation? I mean, it's going to cost me $5,000. I could end up with a disease. You know, there's all kinds of shit that could happen. Do I really need to go, or can I turn on the TV and everything will be just fine? You know, kind of thing. I'm just saying, these are simple calculations that you could argue that, you know, 80% or 70% of the shit that happens to people that sucks happens to them because they sort of asked for it. You know, that they, you know, they really, you know, they keep building houses in the 20-year flood zone and then complain that when every 20 years their house gets flooded. I mean, yeah. Anyway, so making our brains work better really just has to do with you saying to yourself that you understand that your psychology is conditioned to, you can't make yourself enjoy something that you don't enjoy by just snapping your fingers and say, I'm going to enjoy it. You can't just say, I'm going to be like, oh yeah, it'd be so much simpler if I was a homosexual, so I'll just be a homosexual. You can't just do that. you'd have to recondition your preferences and habits, and you know, that could be very difficult and uncomfortable and painful even. So yeah, not very likely. So you have to deal with some of the stuff that you are, as residue, as you know, it's just there from the fact of what happens to you when you were 10 years old, and you're just going to have to spend the rest of your life working around that defect rather than pretending you could ignore it or sneak around it. You know, you've got to deal with it being there and then find a better route if you want to avoid it. You know, I guess the point is that you, yes, there's, you know, you can find mental disciplines that'll allow you to navigate difficult emotional things, and rehabit yourself to enjoying what you hate rather than being annoyed by it. Something like that. Anyway, still haven't gotten to the video. So again, it's just this silly control idea that he's saying people, because they believe in free will, which I don't think they really do, but regardless, that they think that there's some I thing, it's you, that's running your brain. You know, like a homunculus, like there's a little man inside your brain that makes your brain work, and you're the little man or something. When obviously, no. The brain works and it makes you. You can think that you are the little man with levers if you want to. That's okay. I'm just saying it's the little man has got a hand up his ass running him, and it's called your brain. Your brain is running the little man, moving the levers. Okay. There's no escaping it. Again, you're just watching yourself be you. Your brain being you, making you. That's it. I think that explanation is so simple. Problem solved. All right, so we'll just play some of this shit. Crap, garbage, nonsense.
I'll do it for today. See if anything happens in comments. I doubt it will.
So he didn't really say anything, but you know, I'm just playing this part's a little more clear than the rest of his video.
And I feel as though I've come to an end because.
He always does this, so he's come to some end. I don't know, this thing that's going to stop making videos again, and it'll, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And it's just this, it's so nothing. It's so empty. As part of a conversation about describing something as clearly important as reality. What is it to be a human being on planet Earth in this thing called the universe in 2024. I think it's a subject, desperately in need in clear statements about that truth, the reality of it, because there's so much crap floating around, so much noise.
I could repeat where I think you were caught up and wanted to watch these videos, because I said, well, maybe we can help each other. I can help in making life better for you.
So that's the weird part. That he's focused on this somehow idea where I can make life better for you by just maybe if I could sneak some lead into your diet, so you become retarded. He would do that if it was legal, because he thinks you're better off retarded, believing phony and fake stories and believing in fluff and nonsense. Just you're better off just chasing invisible butterflies all day. Butterfly. That's to him, okay, the good life.
But if you're going to stick to some vague insistence that you are an I that actually is...
So we're always eyes. We're always an individual brain, okay? So that just can't be denied. All the brains are individual machines. There's no connecting them. It just doesn't exist. And all there is an environment, okay, that of course conditions all the machines, and there's evolution that conditions the machines. But they are individuals, clearly. I can't even explain how clear it is in terms of the distinction there is between people. I contemplate the difference between me and the neighbors. They're, that we have nothing, there's so little in common. It's as if, we were entirely like, I don't know. It's like completely different animals. I'm trying to think of two animals that are different enough to sort of explain the distinction, because it's such a huge, giant, nothing in common thing.
Is doing something in your body.
They can eat what I wouldn't eat. They'll smell what I won't smell. They'll lick what I won't go anywhere near. In every single behavior, there's nothing in common.
Running your life, basically, there is you running your life, then I don't...
Okay, so you running your life. I'm just saying, I don't think most of the people in this comment section actually think they run their life. They think their brain runs their life. That their brain is inspired, or their brain imagines, or their brain does something. And that's what they do with their life, and that leads them to some other thing and to some other thing, and then this brain creates the action. I don't think they're opposing the notion that their brain, is controlling. If you made that simple statement, if you just asked your audience, do you think your brain controls you? I think your audience would say yes.
I don't know how to do it either. I don't know. If you can find me a basic video of how basically to do it.
To do what? See, he keeps talking about it as if there's some special thing to do, and he keeps using as example these silly people that take some LSD and think they're now, spiritual human. That they're somehow they're not here. I don't even know what they think they're doing. But obviously there's nothing to do but watch yourself develop as a human being. To watch yourself learn, make mistakes, learn from the mistakes, and gain perspective. And I would argue that you tend to, you know, kind of go on an upward path in terms of becoming a better person rather than a worse person. But that's what we're doing. I don't think there's a whole lot of people think something else is happening.
I could watch the video and go, oh, I see the basic technique. And I could do a Tony Robbins thing and say...
So he's talking about Tony Robbins, who I thought was dead or something. You know, little obvious things. I mean, you know, his kid, when he had a kid, his kid was overweight. You know, it didn't make any sense, right? I mean, it's just this, these are simple disciplines, you know. I mean, the kid can't listen to your own tapes? You know, it's little stuff like that is just kind of ridiculous and funny. So, obviously, you know, the trick, there's no trick except you becoming persuaded, okay, of advantage and victory. And until you're persuaded that it's going to make you richer or that it's a good investment, you don't make the investment, right? I mean, I could tell you to go buy a stock, and me telling you just isn't enough. You know, you really need to know, yeah, this one's going to work. And you have to get past the inhibition that it's going to cost you too much. And so you have to sort of imagine, well, even if it caused this much pain, if I got this much gain out of it, come on, I got to pay the price. It's all this is just about your brain making these, having the trial without your cheater, you know, without your procrastinator getting in the way. And that's all it really comes down to is we're all blighted by some asshole called, you know, whatever, Mr. Procrastinator, who always says, well, what if you're dead tomorrow? Then you've wasted a bunch of time and pleasure and fun. You didn't eat your fucking chocolate cake. It was sitting in the refrigerator, and you didn't eat it. And now you're dead, you stupid jackass. You know, some kind of crap like that. The rationalizations used to escape having to deal with anything that has to be paid for.
How it maybe could be done better, but I don't know even how basically it can be done. Oh dear, it's starting raining again. Let me get wet. The only one basic technique that I found that we all actually know, but I doubt if it's really.
Watch a bunch of movies where the person in the movie has to overcome adversity, and it always is a big, huge payoff if he invests this little bit of time, improving some condition, fixing the squeaky doorknob, and there's this huge benefit somehow.
Actually made as a YouTube video.
I mean, you can think of things like that, right? Where you know, like, there's a there's a loose board on the steps, and you know, well, somebody could step on that, and you know, I could step, I could flip, I could fall. And, you do the math in your head, you imagine the thing, and you say, gee, you know, it's not that difficult a calculation to figure out that, you know, 10 minutes could save me 10 years of agony.
Is do as you're told.
So I don't even know what this part means, do what you're told. What does that even mean? I don't know who he's talking about. Is that clean your room stuff or something? What the fuck is that?
That seems to be the technique for teaching a small human how to grow into a big working human.
So what does that even mean? The difference of being a simpleton versus being a complexiton. I don't think that works either. it's just too hard to figure out what that means. Because, you know, clearly to be great at something, sometimes you have to compromise an awful lot of your life. So, like the ballerina as an example. Yes, you'll be able to do this beautiful thing for 10 years, and then you'll spend the rest of your life, you know, having hip replacement surgeries and all kinds of other crap. You know, you're going to pay a price for it. And know, that's so is there really any simple answer? Being stupid sucks, and the fact that we do live in a civilization that is dependent on democratic participation, it's really dependent on, you know, people investing in their civilization. You know, the idea of making people who don't even know what the word means, not a good idea. So this idea that we can all just be, you know, grabbing our butterflies in our imaginary little silly, you know, trivial, you know, bullshit, doing a little Hail Mary, Hail Mary, Hail Mary, I'll just do the Hail Mary song. No. But really, taking life seriously and then trying to figure out what to do, how to do your life best, it is stressful and unpleasant. But then there's the reward of being able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you played a good game.
How to do life. Do as you're told. Right? Okay. Fine. Can't we do
better? So again, why, you know, he says things as if somebody in this audience is, who the fuck could know what the hell you're talking about? Do as you're told. Well, what does that mean? Told by who? Told by what?
Better than that. Lens cap. Bye.
So then he plays some videos from these little whack jobs. Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows are all part of reality. And you can't see them because you haven't stuck a Sasquatchian dildo up your ass. And until you do that, you won't be able to enjoy all of the sunshine, lollipops, rainbows, and unicorns. You will miss it all. Because you simply didn't shove the silly dildo up your ass. Oh, God. I mean, it's so pathetic. You're just like, fuck. What, you know, what are people doing? I mean, they're just making a mess out of something. We're machines. We're fucking machines made by evolution. And we have tools that were specific to the function of these stupid little monkeys that went up in the trees to hide from the predators. And, you know, we ended up eating fruit and doing this and doing that, doing different things. You know, we have features. We have senses. We have tools. And then one of the tools became communication. And that communication turned into language. And that was a hugely powerful thing. And now that's made it possible for us to do what Helen Keller had a hard time doing, which is, you know, figuring out that you can label everything, and then your brain can organize the labels, and it can just say the word tree, and it has the concept of tree, and it can say water, and the concept of water, and now it can really do some modeling with reality. It can do a lot more than just draw the picture. It can draw the picture of the concepts. And when it looks at the picture of the concepts, that's the thing it's manipulating to create what's called your intelligence. Anyway, fuck. All right, back. The question. All right, is there some way for a individual human to change, okay, by just saying the word change, by just having some way to trigger change, right? So you're just saying, how can I make myself change? That is, how can I make the trigger that makes something new or different happen easier to pull or pullable? And yeah, you can only do it with this conversation thing. And we have the conversations in our own head, and then we have the conversation with other people. And all that can happen is there's ingredients that go in, concepts, ideas, beliefs, and you can mix them. But again, how they're mixed is all part of the determinism. We're just stuck with whether somebody made a good enough argument to convince us or not. You could say trials could be like that, right? I mean, a key moment in a trial, and you go from voting for guilty to not guilty. And then you can find out later that, whoops, you made a mistake. Okay. And, you know, so getting, it's not about being able to construct some mechanism that gets right answers. It's about understanding what's likely to produce a right answer, what the rules of a right answer are. And then the question ultimately is, what can you do with this thing being alive? And my argument is that ideally, and all there is what you do to the world. All there is your impact, you know, how you affect the future. And that's all there is. There's just either you will make the future boat sail better, or you will have, with your acid as blood, you will have burned a hole in it and just made things harder on the people in the future. And then the secondary thing is your own welfare. How did you make you feel? How did how you function, what did it do to you? Did it get you in prison? Did it you know, get you in a bad relationship? Did it you know, harm you in some way, where, you know, you paid a high price rather than others? So there's just those two things. How do you affect the big picture world, and how do you affect the little picture of, you know, us individuals? I'd say that obviously the balance always goes to the future, because the future is huge. The present, the number of me and yous is very small. The number of thems is very big. You know, deference always has to be paid to, you know, to the fact that the fact is you're not that important, you know, by mass or substance, and the greater good lies in the future. So you always have to be conscious of your obligation to fill holes, not drill holes, in the boat of humanity, kind of thing. All right, so that's probably, I mean, that's probably as simple as stated, right? I mean, so obviously if you believe that all that matters is how good you feel, I'd say the game has played you badly, okay? You're just a bad player, a bad piece in the bad game. Your error code. Because, yeah, your responsibility is bigger than that. Your obligation, your practical, the practical necessity is that this harm reduction thing take place, and that you don't make more of it, you make less of it. You clean the air, you don't pollute the air. You clean the water, you don't pollute the water. That kind of thing. And it's there's a real capacity to either be poison or to be penicillin. And so your obligation is try to be penicillin, to have as a brain idea, be penicillin, don't be poison. I mean, it's that, you know, it's not that complicated. And so obviously, if you're going to be an imposer, you want to impose in productive ways. So if you're going to play something too loud, maybe it should be instructional videos, you know, DIY, how-to, you know, physics, play physics really loud, science, some kind of, you know, something educational. So yeah, play educational videos too loud in your yard. Not tacky or crass or niche or just plain shitty music. Yeah. So it's not that difficult to figure out, you know, whether you're doing the world a favor, whether you're doing your community a favor or your neighbors or the human race or whatever. I mean, it's not that hard to figure out when an activity is likely to be beneficial or when it's likely to be blighty. Yeah. All right. And the rest of this is, you know, you can get into an argument. I mean, what I thought of earlier about, you know, talking about was just the whole high maintenance thing. That, you know, the ideal construction is to have yourself in a condition where you require very little to make you happy. Very little to keep you interested and occupied and doing productive things. So sadly, though, you know, it's very hard to be productive. It's, you know, you can't just go on the internet and make videos and be productive, okay? People won't let you. Because they'll be offended by, oh, you're trying to make people more productive? Oh, what an evil thing to do. And they'll call you all kinds of names and slander you in all kinds of ways and say you said things you didn't say and all that kind of crap. So part of it is just really difficult. So a lot of us, you know, with the intention to do something meaningful and profound and good, are stuck doing little good things, like, you know, picking up garbage on the street or something, or planting some flowers or some other thing. And it's just too bad that we can't play a better game, that we're not allowed to play a better game, that there's no way to play the better game, because, you know, you can't get into politics because the only way to get elected is to lie through your teeth. Promise them everything, you know, promise them things that aren't practical and, you know, can't happen, and just say that's what you're going to give them, the world that can't exist. You know, just lie. Just, yeah. It'd be really nice if it was a really easy game to play and you could just pick to play the game where everything you do is a good thing and it's helpful. You know, it'd be nice if there was just a game where, you know, there's a bunch of old ladies that I could help across the street all day. I'd play the game. I wouldn't mind that. If you had some simple way to do good. But the simple ways just don't exist. And the system is so convoluted and broken that you just can't play a straight up do-gooder game and get anywhere. So anyway, that's part of the trickiness of the dance you gotta dance, to get anywhere. And I'm being apprehensive about this statement just because it shouldn't stop me. I mean, having to lie or cheat for some ultimate good shouldn't stop me from doing it, but it does. And it's sort of like the dying thing. It's not that big a deal that you don't get to die gracefully or with dignity, respectfully. But it is a big deal. I mean, it pisses me off that I would have to settle for second best. But if the objective is the objective, you know, you settle. This just brings up, unfortunately, something, you know, happened this week. There's so many sad stories and, just stuff that just... just sucks, life sucks. there's just too much unacceptable in it, and it's just amazing how many of you are willing to accept. Anyway, so that's probably enough now. All right, so Yeah, till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot. But yeah, really, you know, the story of being alive, conscious, self-aware, having a personality, is really easy to explain. I mean, it's just a mechanical process on Earth. It's just about a DNA molecule that creates the ability for tools to be constructed, and that just happens that we happen to have this tool that allows us to do this language thing, which allows us to manipulate concepts and talk about concepts, construct sentences that talk about the factual circumstance of what a concept is, what the facts are that make that concept real and meaningful. You know, we can talk about two-ness, you know, and how two things, you know, a two-ness over here and a two-ness over here equals a four-ness, and, you know, that kind of stuff. It all can be broken down into something that simple. Just identifying what something is and then identifying how it progresses to a future in some mechanical way. And that's the only way it can do it, is mechanically. We're just machines processing a world, reflecting it, you know, reflexively reflecting it, and then seeing the modification to that reflection reflected back at us again, and then we react to it again. We see how the world reacts to what we do, and then we react to what the world does. Nothing much else is happening, except it's happening in the context of machines that can feel good and very bad. Yeah, very, very bad. Yeah, that's it. And the idea is bad feelings are bad, okay, and you gotta get rid of them, because there's way too much of it.